you so much, Mr. Robert. Now would be a great time to get your outlines out. And if you have come here tonight looking for brand new revelation that has never been taught before, if you are looking for a piece of information that has never been shared, if you are looking for something that is straight from heaven that God never told anybody other than what we're going to get tonight, then you have come to the wrong place. What you will hear tonight, you might wind up coming back to me and say, I knew all that. I knew all that. And I will say to you, well, then you're doing better than me. Because these are things that I have learned, but along the way, kind of let them slip, kind of let them get away. So every year, God finds a way of sitting me down and having me take stock of my spirituality, you know, my walk with God, and to assess where I have or may have allowed the flame to go down a bit, or maybe even more than a bit. I have started my third decade of studying the Bible regularly with the intent of teaching it weekly. It's been my third decade of that. And it is God asking me to do this because he wants me to explain his truth. Explain God's truth. People read the Bible, say, I don't get it. Well, let's work on it together. That's what we've been doing for a long time now. Every year as I study the Bible, I learn a lot more about who God is. Every year that I study the Bible, I learn a lot more about who God has designed me to be. And I learn a lot more of what God is asking me to do with my life. But as I learn more each year, I have to confess that new discoveries come in, but they come with an unhealthy dose of me forgetting previous discoveries and previous learnings that God has already taught me. I must admit that I forget simple spiritual truths that are there to keep me firmly planted as a follower of Christ. I also forget more complex things about God that would keep me focused in troubling times, and I forget things that God has done that he has promised to do, and things that God has done, all that would inspire and cheer me further in my walk. So inevitably, every year I find myself remembering, coming to this remembrance, this relearning. I find myself re-walking down roads that I've traveled before and that I have known. But I will say this, I have found that in each one of these rediscoveries, I go a little bit further. I get a little bit further and deeper into the truth than I had before I forgot or even when I initially learned it. I become more and more sure of the validity and the power of what God's teaching me. So tonight, I would like to share a message called Relearning Love. My prayer is that maybe you too will gain greater understanding and become more inspired to live God's truth in the world that he has placed us. And we know that's our calling for 2021. Relearning love. Lesson number one. The Christian vehicle is love. Hate to disappoint you, Mr. Caleb. It is not a diesel truck. It is love. The Christian vehicle is love. What I mean here is that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are to travel throughout our travels in the vehicle of love. We are to walk everywhere loving. We are to speak everything in a loving way. We are to see people in a loving manner. In fact, our entire aura, our atmosphere, our approach to life should be one where we are loving and we are gracious. Love is the vehicle that should take us everywhere, and it's the vehicle that we should take everywhere. We must travel through each and every moment of our life in the vehicle of love. I remember the story that Steve Lopez tells. Steve Lopez was a journalist for the LA Times. And he was in his travels throughout LA. He came across the homeless area under a bridge where a lot of highways, if you've been to California, it's all highways. And they were under a highway, and homeless people were living there. And Steve was walking through there. Steve, the journalist who writes for the newspaper, he sees a fellow whose name is Nathaniel, he finds out later. And Nathaniel is playing the violin, and he's playing it pretty well.
So Steve goes over and starts to talk to him and finds out very quickly that Nathaniel suffers from schizophrenia. He's kind of discombobulated the whole time. He doesn't make a lot of sense. He's rambling. When he does talk, he doesn't stop talking. And Steve is listening and talking to Nathaniel. And Steve, by the way, is always on the hunt for a good story. Remember, he writes for the newspaper. So he's talking to Nathaniel, the schizophrenic violin player, underneath the bridges in L.A. where the homeless people are, and it's terrible down there, filthy, dirty, terrible. Nathaniel has his shopping cart filled with his possessions. And in that small conversation, Nathaniel says, yes, when I was studying at Juilliard, you know Juilliard, nobody gets into Juilliard. I mean, Juilliard is, that's for the incredibly proficient musicians. So Steve leaves Nathaniel and he goes back to work, and he just decides to call Juilliard and say, hey, by the way, did you ever have a guy there named Nathaniel Ayers? Did you ever have a guy there? And at first they couldn't find it, and then calls him back and they say, you know what, we didn't see it at first because he didn't graduate. I looked at the graduate list. He didn't graduate. Yeah, Nathaniel Ayers was here for 2 years and didn't finish. Well, Steve then goes on a mission back down to that, underneath those bridges to find Nathaniel. He wants to inquire more. This is an interesting story. A homeless man in L.A. under the bridges who used to be a Juilliard student. That's for the amazingly gifted. He goes on to start befriending, in his way, Nathaniel and getting this story and printing it every week, running a column on this. He takes Nathaniel, he gets him to go to like a homeless shelter that's run by a church organization, and in this homeless shelter, it's super crowded. Nathaniel does not want to be there. Nathaniel's kind of hard to deal with, and Steve tries to get him to stay there. He does sometimes, he does, not all the time, but anyway, he just keeps moving it along. Steve decides to go further as this progresses. He tries to get him his own apartment through the social services. And he finally gets an apartment, which was very hard to do. He gets an apartment, brings Nathaniel there, and Nathaniel is fighting him the whole time. Nathaniel doesn't want to go in a room, and he's just rambling, you know, how kind of a schizophrenic person would ramble. And he doesn't want to go in that apartment. He doesn't like it. He then gets him into the apartment, and then Steve goes on the next part of the mission. He wants him connected back to the symphony. And he talks to people at the symphony because Steve knows people over there. He's a journalist. And someone comes and they bring Nathaniel the instrument he's most proficient at, the cello. And Nathaniel plays for them, and he's very, very good. So they want to bring him and have his own little concert, because people are starting to catch on to this story. They want him to do a little concert down at where the LA Symphony would be. And when it happens, it turns out to be a big disaster. Nathaniel runs off the stage, never does the symphony, and he won't go back to the apartment. He keeps going back to the streets. This is going on. Steve is really at wit's end with this. He's been doing this for long. He's getting angry. Nathaniel actually gets angry at Steve. And this is turning out worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, as Steve is kind of basking in his sorrow, having a pity party that this Nathaniel will not become what he can be, his ex-wife is talking to him and says to him, you know, I know you want him to change. I know you want big things for him. I know you want him to be what you see he can be, but can you just be his friend? And that's what Steve hadn't thought of before. Can I just be his friend? Can I just take him for what he is? Staying in the apartment sometimes, sleeping under the bridge in the squalor of the rest. Can I just be his friend? Steve chronicled his relationship with Nathaniel in the newspaper, and people couldn't get enough of it. Huge hit. Became a movie, by the way. If you're looking for a movie night, it's called The Soloist. It's a movie. People couldn't get enough of it, and then chill ran through my whole body as I realized God was reteaching me something that I have known for a long time. The world will sit up and take notice of acts of love. They will buy the newspapers. They will for simple acts of love that astounds them. The world isn't looking for and will not clamor for great theological insight. Not clamoring for that. The world does not clamor and applaud people for things they decide they will not do. People who take a stand and say, I will not do that, and they really are very making a stand. Ask the Amish how much of an impact that's having. The world will not even pay the price of a newspaper, 50 cents a dollar, will not even pay that for a used Bible. They won't pay that. But put a story of loving a homeless man in the newspaper, and newspaper sales go through the roof. The world is stunned by simple acts of love and kindness and gentleness and goodness. And Westbridge, the greatest thing, and the thing that we are first and foremost called to do in this world, is to love people. Now, when you hear love, I do not mean a feeling. People attribute love to, it's something I have to feel. Feel love to, no. Love is a decision. Here's what it is. It's a decision to want the best for someone at your own expense. You want the best for them at your own expense. Now, that sounds very easy to do when we're sitting here. It sounds very easy to do when you're with church people and you're studying the Bible. It sounds very easy to do. But let me ask you, can I relate to and can I enjoy the company of people who are not just like me? Can we love someone and be their friend when they don't act the way we wish them to act? Can we still be their friend? Can we still maintain a close friendship when our friend blatantly chooses to do the wrong thing? Or does loving God, does this thing God calls us to, does loving the good, the bad, and the ugly in our hearts really mean love the good? Years ago, I learned the truth. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, I don't know about you, but my life, Drew Kleinbell's life, runs at 195 miles an hour. That's my life, 195 miles an hour. Now, one of the ways that I make that busyness work is to make a punch list. And I've told this to all my kids walking through college, make a punch list. For me, here's what I'm doing, Code. Write everything down. Kate, schedule the things on that list. KK, start doing them one by one and get them done fast. No distractions, no side trips, no tangents. And as for talking to people, keep it concise, keep it on track, and above all else, keep it short. Sad, isn't it? Yeah. That's very sad. But before you guys pulled together an intervention for me, before you do that, allow me to say this. I'm getting better. Punch lists are still good, but have a little different attitude. I'm really relearning love. And I fully embrace this truth that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Steve Lopez's story of Nathaniel, that homeless man in L.A., and then reading 1 Corinthians 13 show me that somehow my love can slip away. It can get down. If it was on the back burner of the stove and I had that flame hot one time, I've got it about as low as it'll go before she'll go out. It can do that. My love has been replaced by counseling, wisdom, righteousness, all good things. Don't get me wrong. But what I have to remember is all those things need to be transported to people in the vehicle of love. I have to want the best for them at my own expense. Now, I have a wonderful friend. I have a wonderful friend who is one of the most kind, one of the most thoughtful, one of the most helpful people I know. My friend. Now, my friend says they love Jesus, but they don't follow God's values. This is what's confusing to me. You say you're a follower of Jesus, but you don't follow what he says to do in major areas of your life. This is confusing to me. So for years, I have counseled my friend over and over to take a different path than they are living. Take God's path. What you're doing is not what God wants. Do what God wants. For years, I have promoted God's wisdom to say, here's what we should be doing. Here's what's in the owner's manual for your life. This is what's going to make your vehicle run good. For years, I have laid out the difference between righteousness and disobedience. Now, some of my other friends have advised me to disown my friend. Disown him. Others have told me, hand him over to Satan. And they've even showed me verses in the Bible to do so. Can you see how this loving can get pretty tricky? Well, I looked into God's word and I sought God through prayer. And in my query of God, God reminded me of that story of Steve Lopez. With the challenge at the end of that whole line was, can you simply be his friend? Just simply be his friend. God was reteaching me, and I was relearning that love is the greatest, love is the most final, and love is the most correct thing we can do. God tells us so in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read you a passage of scripture here. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul wrote this. He says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries and make everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. It's Paul talking, saying he's nothing if he doesn't love. If I give everything I own to the poor, give it all to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. You know what love is? Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off at the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. And understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. And when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. He says, when I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. Just squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Three things. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. And the best of the three is the love extravagantly. Friends, there are times God will have us make necessary endings. There are times that there are, God will show you that there are necessary endings. That's why your relationship with him has to be close, so that you know when he's talking. And there are also times for punishment in life. But they must always be with the intention of wanting the best for someone at your own expense. That's love. Now I could go on and on, but the love that I want to point you to tonight is the 1 Corinthians 13 love. And it's what I'm relearning. You love. Let God change. That means you love people. Steve Lopez, you didn't change Nathaniel. But you know what? When you realize that not all people are going to change, you will change. Steve Lopez changed because Nathaniel wasn't going to. And so Steve started loving. You will change when you realize that some people are never going to change. So, as for Drew Kleinbell, I stand next to my imperfect friend to this day. I still offer him counsel. I still offer godly, righteous wisdom. But the greatest thing I give to my friend is my friendship. because that's what is best for him. It's the extravagant love, not the easy love, not the one you'll understand too quickly. It's that big, eye-opening, surprising love. And I keep trusting in God, and I keep praying, I keep believing, but I bring all that to my friend in the vehicle of love. I choose. I don't feel it. I choose to want the best for him, even though it costs me. Lesson relearned. And you were going to have an intervention for me. I know. Lesson two. Love is not free. Love is not cheap. Love is not easy. I'm getting my hands firmly around the concept that the most precious, most rewarding, the most valued things in life are the things we work hard for. The most precious, most rewarding, most valued things in life are the things that we invest our time into, and the most precious, rewarding, and valued things are the things that we have to sacrifice for. I love my wife. Who wouldn't, right? And I know that my wife, I know her, one of the places that my wife finds her identity is in her home, her nest. This is important to her. I know that that's important to her, so I'm going to do my best to make that all it can be for her. Now, the only catch to that is that for me to do that is a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and sacrifice to do all those things, to make that nest what she wants it to be. But I want to love the way Steve Lopez learned to love. Love that will cost. Love mean it gives time. Love that has effort involved, and love that has me sacrifice some of my heart. And we're going to win that book. She's, if you watch it, well, it's my daughter.
Do anything for her, right? Want the best for her at my own expense. I choose, didn't feel, I choose the best for her at my own expense to do this. So there I went, with a coat, big hair. Yes, who got the book? Yes, who won the book? Candy Fire, though. Oh, man, what did they have to learn? Old Hagrid took first place at the Phillipsburg Mall. No wonder it closed, right?
you can't leave.
Well, in retrospect, it was a very easy and very small sacrifice on my part.
Just see if it'll go.
That's how small sacrifices are, man. That after a while has passed, those things that we did that were so hard at the moment, they really don't seem like they're such a big sacrifice at all. Yet the rewards are enormous.
Yeah. Now, living by example, well, God is the best picture of living by example. What God gave to make you and me all that we could be, what he had to do, what he chose to do to make it the best for us, give his son, that was not cheap, free, or easy. He's showing us what love is. God sent his son to earth to live as we live. I cannot believe it. A deity came and lived a human life in order to provide eternal life for us. God sacrificed the most precious thing he had so he could get to you and me. Love is not free, gang. As you love people, as you love, you say, okay, Pastor Drew, I'm going to do it. I'm going to travel in the vehicle of love. I know it won't be free, cheap, and easy. I'm going to do that. Here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to see difficult things. You're going to see things that are hard to look at. As you do this, you will feel unwanted pains. You will. You will give without seeing any return. And the homeless person you try to help may head right back under the bridge and live out of a shopping cart. All this will happen in the short term. But what takes place in the long term? Ah, God says, I told you it's long term. Galatians 6, 9. Don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. Westbridge, the best way to do this, your takeaway is this. Don't look short term. Short term is rough. Think long term. Now, our final point of relearning love is this. The drift is always away. The drift is always away. What I had to relearn is that there is a drift that happens when we are not working towards godliness and we are not seeking what God has told us to do. If, gang, we are not mindful, if we are apathetic, if we are preoccupied, our lives will drift. And that drift is never, never towards the life-giving and peace-instilled life that God has for us. You will not drift into that. You will drift away from that. If I stop getting into my Bible regularly, if I stop feeding my soul, my mind, and my brain with God's word, if I toss my worship CDs in the backseat and start listening to other voices all the time, I will drift into thoughts and I will drift into ideas that take my mind from the life-giving atmosphere God offers me. If I stop going to small groups, if I stop rubbing shoulders with God's people regularly, I will drift towards people who do not promote God's ways. If I stop giving towards others, if I take a break from loving, then I will drift towards myself. And that usually leads to discontentment and unhappiness. If I rest from fighting and to living rightly, and if I rest from obeying God, I will drift. If I just kind of put my growth, if I just put my Christian growth on autopilot, I'm just going to go through life. My spirituality, put on autopilot. I've grown enough. If I do that, I will drift slowly but very steadily towards unhealthy things. That's the truth. I'm not talking about, gang, I'm not talking about turning your back on God. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about an evil act. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being unmindful, being unconscious. Paul in the Bible calls it sleepwalking through life. Look what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. So let's not sleepwalk through life like others. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. People sleep at night and get drunk at night, not us. Since we're creatures of the day, let's act like we're creatures of the day. Walk out into the daylight sober. Dressed up in faith, dressed up in love, dressed up in the hope of salvation. And then Peter seconds this, telling us this in 1 Peter 5:8. Keep a cool head. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. No sleepwalking. Stay alert. Because the devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you. Drifts away. The drift is going to take you away from God. It's going to. Long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and will have you put back on your feet for good. He, God, gets the last word. Yes, he does. Wow, Peter, nice. Friends, this final relearning may not seem like a very powerful point. But allowing your spiritual growth to go on autopilot, to grow on autopilot, allowing your growth in Jesus and your learning of Jesus to start sleeping. The subtle, silent drift has caused the fall of many a God follower, and they tumble over a very perilous waterfall on that drift. I think of folks on the road we are walking towards the celestial city. On the road we are walking towards the celestial city, it's easy to stop and rest for too long. It's easy, and it's likely that we will get our eyes off of God and get our eyes onto the scenery. There will be plenty of grueling hills, plenty of bad days, plenty of traveling weather that isn't very good, and most importantly, there will be distractions. But we can't stop. Here's your takeaway. Keep moving spiritually. Keep going. Don't stop.
Forward with God. Sure, there are going to be days of rest. Don't get me wrong. There's times
to break for a second. Catch your breath. You need a vacation. But if your vacation started last March and you're still on it, well, that's too long. You put it on autopilot. You're taking a break. My guess is you're drifting. Be honest. You're probably drifting away from what was good. And we all know where that's going. Peter told us the devil's waiting out there like a roaring lion. And he's ready. But we have to walk. We have to fight. We have to give of ourselves. That's our calling in 2021. But gang, isn't really that what love is all about? Giving to others, our expense for the betterment of someone else. So, you're marching on, relearning love. Keep walking. Keep going. Sure, there's going to be fails, short-term losses, but long-term, it's going to good places. Keep loving. Keep serving our Savior. I'm going to ask the band to come back and have you take time to kind of give some restocking of your own soul. Say, Lord, where am I at? Where am I at? Am I drifting?
I want this year to be a year that I pour it on for God. Just keep serving Him. Keep loving Him. Let Him show me who He wants me to
spend time with. Show me how to love. Show me who to love. Give me the strength to love. Don't let me look at people and say, I got a punch list. I got to get her done. Let me say, you know what? That'll get done later. How you doing? How things going? I may not have the answers for you, but I can listen to you. And more than that, I can be your friend. Let me just do that much. Just be your friend and watch what God does. Change the world in front of you. Easy words to sing, beautiful words to sing. But oh, the heart that means it. Oh, the heart that would say, Lord, I would pay any price to be more like You. Even if it cost me everything, if I was more like You, I'm taking that to eternity. I can have a bigger impact in this world. And then there's the heart that says, but I want the things in this world. I want this. And they value what's here more than what's going to be there. And I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to relearn Your truth. When we came to You broken, we came to You in need, we came to You and said, Lord, take everything. I've made a mess of this. We handed it to Him, and we've seen Him change us. We've seen the good. He took ashes and made them something beautiful. And now we're like, I got it, Lord. I got it now. Instead of relearning what we forgot. More of You. And if that means less of me, well, You just go ahead and take everything, Lord. Because my faith is on You, and my faith is in the eternal home You're taking us to. Lord, if there's any in the room tonight who are in that place where they're saying, you know, I understand that idea of my life being a mess and needing to find something. I tried and what other people told me to do, and it was a train wreck.
I need you to forgive me for what I've done.
I need you to make my life all you want it to be. I believe Jesus died on the cross, your son, for my sins. I believe that. And I believe he'll give me the Holy Spirit and I will live forever with him in heaven. I believe that. Now, Lord, grow me. Show me what you want me to know. If you want to engage to God and tell him, yes, I take your gift. I admit my Jesus. It's that simple. And then the walk begins.
Those who are suffering deeply this week, and Lord, I know many folks
came in this week, many, many, many emails, many hurting. And Lord, I pray that you would connect with them. Only you can do that kind of counseling. Only you can offer that kind of help and support. And Lord, I pray that you do just that. Show us what we can do in the meantime, Lord. Show us to be the flesh on your arms to surround people and give them a hug and tell them, God's got this. The sun will come up tomorrow. We'll keep going. Make this church in 2021 a church.
Help us to love the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it, with the same fervor, the same enthusiasm. And help us to not forget love, but to have a full handle on relearning it. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7:00. Have a great week, everybody.